But what I want to do today is continue on in our series that we're doing on launch. You know, our vision here in the church, our vision statement is reaching our city to change the world by loving Christ, loving people, and pursuing God's mission. So for us to do that this coming year, we talk about launching. Now, my first week, I came up and I talked about a spaceship launching to the moon. That I've talked about how I felt like we had sort of arrived at our moon as GCF Church over the last 26 years, going into our 27th year. Then I talked about what's it going to take for the next 26, 27 years for us to go to our Mars, and then shared a lot of different aspects of what I thought what would be arriving at Mars would be to me. And we talked about that, and if you didn't hear that sermon, go to our website. We have it online. You can go and listen to it. Also, then last week, Beatty, our worship pastor, spoke about living for Jesus and dying for Christ, doing all things unto the Lord, basically finding purpose in what you do, that all of us have purpose in what we're called to do and what we're doing in our lives, and to make that the case, the purpose of that. And so he did a great job sharing with that. And again, if you didn't hear that, I think you need to go back. It'd be great if you haven't heard any of these weeks, go back on our website and listen to these two sermons as they sort of blend together in that. I'm going to continue on with this theme, and I want to read a passage to you out of Mark chapter 7, verse 36. Mark chapter 7, verse 36, as we're looking at the launch part 3 here. And it says here, and he gave them orders. Now here's what's happened. Jesus has just healed somebody. The guy was deaf. He couldn't hear. He could speak with difficulty. He spit. He touched his tongue with his spit, and he was healed. Now, you know, modern day, we would never touch anybody's spit on our tongue. But anyway, back then, and this was the Son of God, so he can do what he wants to do. But he healed him at that moment. He was healed. And here's the passage. And so then they're like, oh, I can't believe he did this. And he was telling them, don't go and tell anybody. Sort of keep it quiet, because many scholars believe that the reason he would do that is because he felt like people would try to make him a king by force and by power, versus he came to establish the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom. So when Jesus said, don't go tell anybody, because he didn't want them to come and grab him and take him and make him a king, try in the natural realm, or try to force him to become a king, to overthrow the Roman Empire. And it says anyway, so he gave them orders not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. Jesus wasn't using reverse psychology here, people. He really was not. If I just tell them don't do it, they're going to do it. No, that's not what he was trying to do here. And they were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. I'm highlighting here, he has done all things well. The title today is launch part three is doing all things well. Doing all things well. So let me pray as we begin this morning. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would open up our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, that you would help me communicate what you put on my heart this morning. Thank you, Lord, as we come together to hear your word. Lord, teach us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. It says that he did all things well. As I look back over my life and different things that I've experienced, I can't really say that I did all things well. I can't even say that I tried to do all things well. Especially when I was in college, I didn't do things well. I graduated, but that's a bad hit. And many of us probably can look at our jobs and go, am I really doing all things well? I don't know. Maybe there's some of you that can say that. And I hope you can say that. I know that I can't say that. But what a standard that we have in the call that God has us, that he said he did all things well. And that doesn't mean I believe that we are perfect in everything, but he did all things well. And somehow, sometimes in this world and in the church, we tend to separate the sacred from the secular. We tend to say, okay, the sacred is over here. We come to church on Sunday mornings. How dare you even bring up the name of Jesus outside of church? But then we have the other side of the secular, where it's all secular. That when it's almost like you check out on Sunday and go about your business Monday through Saturday, and you come back again on Sunday for the sacred. There's this divide taking place. But what I want to tell you today, there really is no separation between the sacred and the secular. If you, wherever you are, the kingdom of God is. Because if you're a child of God, the kingdom of God is resident within you, and there is no separation between what you do here on Sunday and what you're supposed to be doing the rest of the week. And that's where we get into a lot of trouble when people say, I'm tired of hypocrisy. Well, I tell you, I told somebody, I said, well, if you know what hypocrisy is, show me what it's not. Don't complain about it. Show me what it's not. Now, I don't go to church called all the hypocrites. Well, come tell me how to do it, sir, so that we'll do it right, since you know what needs to happen. But Martin Luther addressed this back in the 1500s. Let me read this to you, this quote. He said, a cobbler, or a shoe repair person, a smith, a farmer, each has the work and office of his trade. And yet they are all alike consecrated priests and bishops. And everyone, by means of his own work or office, must benefit and serve every other. That in this way many kinds of work may be done for the bodily and spiritual welfare of the community, even as all the members of the body serve one another. Do you get that? Did you see that? And yet they are all alike consecrated priests and bishops. You ever thought of yourself as a priest and a bishop? Now those of us maybe who are in the ministry as an occupation, but the rest of you, this Bible, so basically he says there is no secular and then there is no sacred. It all blends together because you are walking according to God. So we're talking today about launching your destiny into 2017. Continuing on with the thing that Betty had last week. That 2017, your impact of who you are and what you do is so powerful. It's so amazing what God wants to do in your life. But I believe you've got to grab a hold of this. That you are a priest and a king unto Jesus as much as I am. That in your job, there is an anointing of God. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up here. In Colossians chapter 3, Betty read this verse last week, but I want to just touch on it briefly as we move forward. It says, slaves, this is Colossians 3, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth. And Betty did a great job talking about your supervisors and all that kind of thing last week. Go back and listen to that. We're masters on earth, not with external service as those who are merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. Where do you say it was from? The Lord. Then he says, it is the Lord whom you serve. He was the Lord whom you serve. I know some mothers sitting there thinking, I just changed how many diapers today? It's the Lord whom you serve. That's right. Look at it that way. So number one, I have three different points I want to make in this regards to you launching into your destiny and how God wants to use you in your career and in your path or wherever you are in your life at this moment. The first one is, you do it for the Lord. Number one is for the Lord. And that's what we just did. That's what we just mentioned. For the Lord. Number two, and I'm going to run by this one quickly because Betty addressed that last week. But anointed by God is number two. Do you realize you are anointed by God to do what you do? Exodus 31, verse 2. Let's read this together. See, I have called by name. Let me back up here. Moses is talking to God. God is talking to Moses. Probably more accurate. God has decided they've come out of Egypt. They're in Exodus. They're wandering around. And he goes, okay, I want you to make a tabernacle. I'm going to make you an ark. I want you to make a table. All these different items that's going to go in the tent of meeting that they're going to have. It's going to take with them. And they're going to have gold in there. And he gave very, very specific instructions of how God wanted those things built. And how he wanted the tent to look, and how the tabernacles were to look, and the table, and the mercy seat, how all these things were to look, and the curtains. Very detailed stuff. So much so that God told Moses, who is one of the probably the greatest leader of mankind next to Jesus ever had. But I want you to go get for me this man, Bezalel. And he said, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Hur, the son of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship, to make artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. I find it interesting that God knew by name the best craftsman in Israel. He knew by name. He even went on and added other guys to the list. Ohaliah and others. He said, go get them and bring them because I want them to make this. And he said, the first thing he said was, he filled them with the Spirit. Number one, under section two. He filled them with the Spirit. And this comes with an abiding relationship with God. Bezalel was a man of God. He was a man of faith. And he was filled with the Spirit. Thus, you are filled with the Spirit to do what you do. Breaking down the walls of the sacred and the secular here this morning. You do what you do because God anoints you to do it. And there's an abiding relationship that Bezalel had in order to walk in that kind of anointing, filled with the Spirit, be able to do amazing kind of craftsmanship. I would say the same is true for you again. Whether you're a cook in a restaurant, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a teacher, whatever you do, child care worker, whatever you do, public servant, you can be filled with the Spirit. Whatever you're doing day in and day out. God, matter of fact, I believe you are filled with the Spirit. God has given you what you need to be successful. And it says, number two was, he gave them wisdom. He gave them wisdom. Now wisdom, there's a gift, I don't know if you know, but in 1 Corinthians 14, 12 and 14, it talks about the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom. And I believe that is a supernatural wisdom that comes at a moment which discloses the mind, the purpose, and the way of God as applied to a specific issue or situation. Being led by the Holy Spirit to act appropriately in a given set of circumstances. It's called a word of wisdom. Did you realize that when you're having issues and you're sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden a thought comes to your mind, I'm going to do this. Do you realize you just moved in a spiritual gift and didn't even realize it? Come on now. You were moving in the Spirit and didn't even realize it. That's one thing I love about the Holy Spirit. A lot of times he's very subtle. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't come knock you down and get you rolling on the floor, but most of the time, the Holy Spirit is very subtle. He speaks in our hearts and in our minds, and he leads and guides us, prompts us. I know all of us can probably go, I had this situation in my business. I didn't know what to do, what to say. But all of a sudden, the thoughts came. And I was like, wow, this is it. I made the decision. Everybody's thinking, that's the smartest man I know, a woman I know. Come on, Reed, you've had that happen, haven't you? Yeah. He's in business. Many times. God has anointed you. He has given you a spirit of wisdom in what you do. Number three under this, it says he gave you understanding. Number four, he gives you knowledge. He gave Bezalel understanding and knowledge. And if I go backwards in this, knowledge is basically facts. Bezalel knew that there was gold, that was bronze, that was silver. He knew that if I put heat to it, it's going to melt it. So he had a lot of knowledge about different things. But then it said he gave him understanding. In other words, he had to know the meaning. He had to sort of interpret, well, how do I put this and cover something with this? How do I take what I know here and put it on a cup or put it on a rail or put it on something or a bench? So he has understanding about how the chemicals work and how all the oxidation of all the metals work. So he has some understanding about it. But then it says it gives them wisdom, how to actually apply it, how to go about it and make it happen. Because I have a feeling the stuff that God was asking him to do, he had never done with that material before. And he had to have wisdom in order to accomplish what God wanted him to do. So it gave him wisdom, it gave him understanding, he gave him knowledge to make it happen. I dare say to you today, God does the exact same thing for you. Exact same thing for you. Irene, one day I was over at their shop. I used to do the books for them at the Aesthetic Signs. And I was talking to David, her husband, and he said, Eddie, I couldn't figure out how to do this one particular sign or how to cut it out. And I just said, Lord, you got to help me in this. And he said, all of a sudden, a thought came to my mind. It's like God spoke to me and showed me how to repair this sign. He does that all the time. I'm sure that's the way it is with doctors. If you're a spiritual person, you're trying to hear from God as you're trying to figure out what to do here. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do this. I could give you a list of 50 different occupations that are in this room. This applies to you. It means you. All the way from a mom trying to figure out how to deal with this child, all the way to the supervisor trying to figure out why these people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. He has given you that knowledge. It says, in all craftsmanship, I believe God is the one who anoints multi-talented gifting that God gives. He anoints every job, every person, every part. Many of you have multiple giftings. And many of you in your positions you're in, it takes multiple talents to be able to accomplish what you have to accomplish on a day-in and day-out basis. My point with all this today is, as you're launching in 2017, realize that the anointing of God is on you to do what you do. That you are called of God to do what you do. So I don't really like what I do. Well, look at purpose in it right now. Believe God for something better, but realize that your anointing is right there. I remember when I was in college and I was working in a restaurant and I was a fry cook or a cook and I started out not serving God, and then I got my life right about halfway the time I was there. And I was like, I think the only one who was willing to admit they were a Christian in the whole place. And I just remember, I'd try to be slacker in what I was doing. Well, I'm not going to clean that up. I just let somebody else deal with it. I'm going to eat me some food over here on the side like I'm not supposed to. They don't pay me enough. Why don't I just eat some food? You know what I'm saying? They're going to throw it away anyway, man. Why don't I just woof this stuff down, man? What's the problem? And then I got to the point that it started bothering me when I was eating the food I didn't pay for. Or it was beyond what my meal plan was. They gave me a half. Started bothering me a little bit. Then I got where I couldn't joke with all the, dirty jokes that were going on. I used to laugh. Even after I got saved, man, that was funny, Gawking at every woman that walked down the aisle. You know what I'm saying? And I got where it started bothering me. Because the Spirit of God was on me. And I had to stop doing that stuff. I'm going to meddling now. I know. But I'm meddling in myself here, because that's how it was for me. And I had to stop doing that. And I had to start acting differently. And if I was going to walk under the anointing that Bezalel had as a fry cook, I had to do it. So God was all over me, making me change to how I acted and how I presented myself as a fry cook making minimum wage. It don't matter what you do. You're still an ambassador of Christ. Yes, yes. You are still anointed by God. You're still Bezalel. I want the anointing of Bezalel. How about that? Anybody hear anybody preach a sermon on the anointing of Bezalel? I haven't. But I'll take that. Come on. He's obscure, but see how important he was. He's only mentioned a couple of times in the Bible, but look what he did. The Ark of the Covenant. They're still trying to find the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, it's in Egypt. It's in Ethiopia. Oh, it's at Oak Island in Canada. It's somewhere. Come on now. Y'all know that. I watch too many. I watch too much TV on those history channels, I guess, you know. But this man was a man who did a lot of that stuff. You too. You know, you may not be recorded in the Old Testament for what you did when you witnessed that person, or when you cleaned up behind yourself and did your job like you're supposed to. But God sees it. It said that God saw him, called him by name out of millions of people. He called him by name. God knew his name. Bezalel. He knew his name, and he knows your name. You know, one of my biggest prayers is, God, don't let me embarrass you. Don't let me be an insult to you. Don't let me bring reproach on your name. Keep me in your way, O God, that I might not sin against thee. I don't want to be a reproach or an embarrassment to my Lord. So he's given us wisdom. He's given us understanding. He's given us knowledge and all craftsmanship. And ladies, he didn't forget about you either. Exodus 35 talks about all the skilled women. Spun with their hands and brought them what they had spun in blue and purple and sacred material and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with the skill spun the goat's hair. Now that's what they were doing. But I'm telling you again, he's pointing out the women. All right, I got Bezalel, but you women folk, y'all got a lot to do too. Come on. Number three overall. Number one, what was number one? We do it for the Lord. Number two, we're anointed by God. Number three, God evaluates us or appraises us. I don't want to use the word judges us, because we passed out of judgment into his light. If you're a Christian today, you're not going to be judged according to your salvation. But God does look at our works. He does judge what we do and how we do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. It's supposed to fear God in me because I always fall short here. Thank God for His grace. According to the grace of God which was given to me, I like the way he starts out with the grace of God. Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on, it remains, he will receive a reward. But any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So he's going to judge our works. We're going to stand before him. Thank God we passed out of judgment as far as our salvation, because once you're saved, born again, and your life transformed by his power, you are going to heaven no matter what you do. But God will judge your works here on the earth and when you stand before him when you die at the end of the age. He will judge your works. So if I'm a fry cook at a restaurant, I want to do it with the right attitude. I want to do it with the right heart. I believe God doesn't require more of us than what he's given us, the talents that he's given us. He doesn't judge me the way he does Billy Graham, who's preached to millions of people because that was his calling. He doesn't judge me according to, let's say, Reed, who's a businessman. I can't do what he does. He doesn't judge me according to what he does. The point I want to make today, more than anything else, is that you are just as anointed to do what you do as I am to do what I do as a minister of the gospel. Do I need to say that again? Have you got that? You are just as anointed and called of God to fulfill what you do, whether it be business, whether it be a cook in a restaurant. You are as just anointed by God to fulfill your calling in God as I am to stand up here and preach the Bible to you. I'm just a priest and a king in a different way than you are. I'm just anointed to do this differently than you are. But every person is called, chosen, and God's hands and on. Let's put that quote up again by Martin Luther as we conclude here this morning. You are just as much a minister and a missionary as I am. Let me say that again. You're just as much a missionary as I am. Maybe more so. A smith, a farmer, each has the work and office of his trade. Yeah, they are all alike consecrated priests and bishops. And everyone, by means of his work or office, must benefit and serve every other. That in this way, many kinds of work may be done for the bodily and spiritual welfare of the community, even as all the members of the body serve one another. You are called. You are chosen. God's hand is upon your life. You're anointed. All right, as we conclude here, tell me what was number one? For the Lord. What was number two? Anointed by God. What was number three? He unevaluated. Okay, now what did the Bible say that he gave Bezalel? What was the first thing? Filled him with the Spirit. What was the second thing? What was the third thing? What was the fourth thing? And what was the fifth? All craftsmanship. Come on now. Let's pray. Let's pray before we have our life prepared this morning. God, I thank you as we launch out in 2017 that you have anointed every one of us for the position in life that you have placed upon us. Thank you, Jesus, that every person, every position in life, every place, you are called by God. You are anointed by God to do what you do. What God has placed in your hand right now, whether it be a student, do it with all your heart. Whether you be a business person, do it with all your heart. Whether you're a parent, a mom, a public servant, whatever, whether you're a doctor, whatever it may be, God, let them do it with all their heart. Let them see their life is valuable. Let them see that this church is going to grow because of them, not because of me. This church is going to grow and go forward because of the anointing on their lives and the arena in which they're in. Lord, I know there's some people here probably have some issues they're having to deal with this week. Issues at work and family. And they need wisdom from you how to deal with the challenges that are coming down there on their plate, what they're facing this week in their jobs, their home life. God, I pray that they would sense that anointing, that they would have that word of wisdom would take place. If y'all would just stand with me this morning as we wrap it up this morning. God, I pray for the encouragement of the Holy Spirit to come upon every person. And they feel insignificant, Lord Jesus, that you would let them know that everyone is significant across this room. Every person's life matters. Every person has a part in the kingdom of God. No matter where you are, even if they're in a job that they can't even say Jesus' name in their job, but yet they are still who they are in that flight. They are still a child of God, no matter where they are. And I pray you give them opportunities to share their faith, oh Jesus. Even in situations where they can't even talk about God, but yet you open up a door. Somebody will ask them a question, how do you keep it together? I said, it's because of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. I thank you, Jesus, that you're a God who's more than enough to get us through this week, to get us to make decisions, to help us get down the road a little further as we're launching out in our personal lives in 2017. What's ahead for us? Lord, I don't know what's ahead for every person, but I know that you're launching people into a greater part of their life, a greater destiny. It's not the end for them, it's just the beginning. Lord, if they're 20 years old or if they're 90 years old, there's still a lot to do for them. There's still a launch in 2017. There's a way you want to use them, God, for your kingdom. And every person is valuable. I come against every lie of the enemy that says, my life is insignificant. My life doesn't matter. My life is just not important. I'm from this side of the road or side of the railroad tracks, or I'm poor, or I've got this, or I've got that. It doesn't matter. In God, everyone is a priest and a king unto him. Everyone walks equal before God. God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of education levels. He's no respecter of authority. Every person before him is the same. He sees every person the same. His child, his son, his daughter. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Let me just say, I believe in every one of you. God believes in you more than that. He believes in you and the life and the calling He has on your life. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and dismiss.